Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, and verse 10. The Apostle Peter writing says, "And after you have suffered for a while, a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, establish you." Look very carefully again at these words: perfect, confirm, strengthen, establish. Now, if we were to desire that to happen in our lives, which we should, how would it happen? What would it take to bring it about? School, training, church, preaching. I'm asking you to kind of think a moment about, how am I going to be perfected? And we'll talk about that. How am I going to be confirmed? How am I going to be strengthened? And how am I going to be established? A few more days, got to start dating those checks differently. New year, brand new year. We often comment, do we not? Man, where did this year go? Wow, it passed, it's gone. And suddenly we're confronted with 2022. We look back over the past year, and a lot to consider, a lot to think about. What happened this past year of real significance in your life? Joy, challenges, sorrow, progress. And way back when we started dating our checks, 2021, those first few days, and projecting the year ahead, little did we realize things were going to happen. We couldn't picture it. And the same thing is true about 2022. You sit here next weekend, January 1st. What's going to happen in that year? Job changes, sickness, some fun times. We don't know. We don't know. We say Merry Christmas. We say Happy New Year. Why do we say that? Well, because generally speaking, we want everybody to do well and be happy in their lives and in their family and in the coming year. We don't say, "Hope you do a lot of suffering this coming year." Do you see what Peter is saying? He's not embarrassed or afraid to use that word I just used. suffer. Suffer. And after you have suffered, as if it's going to happen, there seems to be a degree of certainty in the way he uses the word. After you have suffered, the God of all grace who called you will do some things. And we listed them a while ago. We thought about them. We talked about them. We mentioned them specifically. And what about it in this coming year? Will there be anything that will perfect you? Confirm you, strengthen you, establish you? Well, that is that going to happen in your life? Peter is saying, with that one word up in the beginning, after you have suffered, you can anticipate God doing a work of grace in your heart, which will have the effect in your life of perfecting you, confirming you, strengthening you, and establishing you. That's what he's saying. Well, let me restate things a little bit simpler. Peter sees suffering as an essential ingredient. And Peter is basing his prayer as a prayer for these things. And dear ones, I want to say to you, we have a lot to learn about prayer. And prayer can teach us a lot. What a study it would be to go through the Bible and study the prayers of God's people. It's rich with doctrine and theology. And we're going to see that as we move along. Even in Peter's concern and the prayer that grows out of that concern. Back in the 1960s, I had opportunity to spend several weeks at the Marine Base, Quantico, Virginia. I had the opportunity of observing the Marine training firsthand. I was impressed. It's rigorous. It's demanding. The things that were required of these men, carrying a full backpack, full dress, out in the hot sun, marching hour after hour after hour, overcoming defense tactics and courses. It's rigorous. It's demanding. But those guys that were doing the training know what they're doing. They're taking a young man and they're turning him into a Marine within a few weeks. Amazing. The transformation that takes place. But it was suffering, it was hardship, it was agony. I didn't see any little business signs up saying, become a Marine without all the misery. Enter here. It doesn't happen. You don't make Marines that way. And when the final day came, there had been an amazing transformation. Mentally, physically, and any other way you can think of. They had been transformed because of the backpack, because of the sun, because of all that they went through, resulted in this. Do you not think God knows how to make a marine out of you? A spiritual marine, tough, who can take it when the going gets tough? How's he going to do it? According to Peter, after you have suffered a little while, what's going to happen? The first word is perfect. The word perfect, as used in this verse, carries with it the idea actually to strengthen, which that word is used, a different word is used, but it translated strengthen, to complete and bring to, I like the word, maturity. It speaks of making a person entire or whole. We know the doctrine of sanctification. We've studied it. We've reviewed it. We should know it backwards and forwards. But let's think about it as this process of what Peter's talking about. In the process of God sanctifying us and maturing us in the faith, what happens first? Remember, radical break with sin. That's number one. He's freed. The moment you become a Christian, you move out from that dominion of sin. He's put into the orbit of grace. But then that introduces him to that second area, which is progressive. Something's going on in your life. We do well to pay attention. Once having been freed from that dominion, that control, we're not totally and absolutely perfect sinless. Yes, freed from that dominion of sin, but still growing in grace. Well, there's a third aspect. That day's coming. What day are you speaking of, Pastor? I'm speaking of the day of glorification, when we will be with Him and able to love Him and serve Him with a sinless heart. Work done. Complete. But you see, we're in that process of the now and now. Progressive. Something's going on. Paul, writing to the Philippians, mentioned it. He said, "For I'm confident that this very thing which God has begun in you, this good work which He has begun in you, He will perfect it even until the day of Jesus Christ." Do you see what He's talking about there, folks? He's talking about this work of making you into a marine. Tough. Sometimes. Work of progressive sanctification. What else does Peter envision happening in this project? confirmed. King James says establish. It also can be translated strengthen. It can be translated make firm. It can be made to say render constant. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, says so that he, God, may establish your heart. Good translation. Writing to the Ephesians, Paul says that you may be rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded? What does that say? It says firm, determined, resolute, steadfast. Boy, that's an inventory of character quality. How many people do you know that when you think of them, immediately you think, wow, that guy is firm. That guy is determined. That lady is resolute. That person is steadfast. Does that just ooze out of you so that it's evident? You just kind of walk by, maybe casual contact, and yet, even in casual contact, you see there's something different about that guy. It shows. It emanates. You can hear it in his voice. You see how Peter envisions these things? And in essence, do you know what he's saying when he puts all of this together? It ain't going to happen without suffering. Period. It's a unique thing that God can use in various ways. And folks, I want to tell you, I've lived long enough to see it happen in the lives of other individuals. What a sad thing when you don't see these qualities, because there has not been a biblical response to the tough times. How many times do you think those Marines wanted to quit? I'm out of here. Okay, man. Go your way. But in that very moment, you forfeit the very quality that could, a few more weeks, be yours. As a sideline, you know, one of the things that we benefit from when we go through these very difficult, trying times, it has a way of solidifying and confirming our convictions about the truth of God's Word, because it makes certain portions of God's Word come alive. Wow. I never saw that before. Because it relates to something that's happening providentially God ordained in your life. To make you the person God wants you to be. Let's think a moment about the word strengthened. If you haven't found it out by now, let me just tell you something. Living the Christian life requires a great deal of strength. strength to resist temptation, strength to endure trials and afflictions, strength to be faithful in carrying out Christian duties, strength to persevere to the end. No wonder when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, "I pray that you will be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man." Do you see that desire on the part of the apostle? The insight on the part of the apostle, and he desires for those believers in Ephesus? I want you to be strong. I want you to be strong in the inner man. People put a lot of money and effort into being strong in the outer man. It's okay. It can be overdone, become an idol. What about being strengthened in the inner man? Spiritual strength. The psalmist was much aware of that. The psalmist says, "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength." And on in many of the Psalms. I have many of them listed. In fact, the psalmist cries out in Psalm 73, "But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." The psalmist cries out in the same psalm, "I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all his works." So what happens? Well, life is okay. No real problems. And all of a sudden, the bottom falls out. Then what? You cry out to God in reliance upon him. You reach out and you seek God's strength. And what happens? You make a new discovery of God's all-sufficient grace, because that grace he has promised to be sufficient all of a sudden takes hold in your heart and life, and there is strength, inner strength, to deal with it. I think that's what Peter had in mind. There's the quality of being established. Firm foundation. When God built his house on the sand. Easy. The other guy built his house on a rock. Very difficult. Very time consuming. Very back breaking. But it was all a rock. Yeah. Storms came as they were. And great was the destruction of the house on the sand. Because there had not been in that situation suffering for a while. Same wind, same rain, same storms. The house on the rock didn't fall. Yeah, there was some suffering involved in building that foundation. But it was worth it. It was worth it. Well, Peter says you'll be settled. You'll be settled. I kind of think about people who are just fluttering around. Here a while, there a while, somewhere else a while. Not settled. In their life, in many aspects of their life. Well, how is all of this going to come together? How's it going to happen? The God of all grace, the God of quickening grace, the God of convincing grace, the God of pardoning grace, the God of believing grace, the God of comforting and supporting and sustaining grace. We'll do it. It'll take place in your heart and in your life. Note with me very carefully in our text. It's the God of all grace. Don't miss these words. Who called us? Who called us? Oh, yeah. By the way, that's the first link in that golden chain of eternal mercies. Turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. That's the effectual call upon that soul of whom he has purposed to save. Them he also called, and whom he called, what else happened? Them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. It's the link in that golden chain of God's dealings with us. Paul says, I'm convinced of this one thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That should bring forth amazing insight. Peter expected his prayer to be answered. On what basis? God has called you to his eternal glory, and it's going to happen. Boy, that should bring joy to our hearts today. In light of everything else that may be going on in your life. Well, we stand on the brink of a new year. Don't know what's going to happen. But I do know this, that if you belong to him, he's in the process of working in your heart and life today, tomorrow, and next week and next month and throughout the coming year. God will do his work. You shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins, the guilt, the indwelling, and one day from the very presence of that sin. Well, God will do his work. And we can be thankful for that. How do you think those Marines felt on the day of graduation? Well done. Well done. And this is a day of graduation for God's people. It may come when he appears in glory and takes us home to be with himself. Or it may come when he individually takes the believer home. But anyway, we anticipate that day when God himself will say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter thou in to thy rest." Let's pray. Our gracious God, we humbly acknowledge that we don't like to suffer, and we try to avoid it, which we understand. But Lord, help us to see it differently. And even in those dark days of trial and tribulation, may we see that you are the sovereign God and that you are in control and you're working all things after the counsel of your own will, to our good and for your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.